radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Yiner into right center field, takes advantage of the double error. Astros within a run. Yiner heading to second base. He'll get there with a double. RBI number 59 for Yiner Diaz.
The Yiner Diaz we've been waiting for.
Thank you, Dusty.
He is here. I mean, let's be honest. Yiner Diaz had better numbers in totality last year with Dusty Baker as Astros manager.
I don't know anymore. They seem to change his approach. It's pretty damn good.
But yeah, he is on a tear. I think he's hitting something like 500 over what is now a 7-game hitting streak. And I mean, that's what the Astros offense was in this series against Pittsburgh. It was Yiner Diaz and 8 Pirates errors.
The double error. Was that the O'Neill Cruz in the left fielder play?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a bad look.
I mean,
they were like, and in defense of the Pirates for a half second here, not really in defense of them. Astros defense also, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, it was a bad series. 5 errors, and they had 2 last night. But, yeah, the Pirates had as many errors as the Astros had hits. One of them, the pinch hit home run by Mauricio Dubon. Yiner Diaz had 2 of them, and Alex Bregman had another. I hope the offense figures things out in their day off before this upcoming series against the Tampa Bay Rays, but at the very least have a good record, even though they are stripping parts all over the place.
Last night's game did give me vibes. Like, remember that White Sox game when they cut Jose Abreu?
At the same time, when
everything was like it wasn't a great series, but the White Sox played Little League Baseball.
You're right. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we were at Turtle Bend. Yeah, they played like Little League Baseball, and all of a sudden they were throwing the ball over the place.
They just completely fell apart, and they had that game in the bag. You're right. I see some similarities there, too. I will give Framber Valdez a pat on the back. He did have a meltdown inning, but he still ended up with 10 strikeouts, so he's got 20 his last 2 games. I'd like to see the strikeout number up like that.
Yeah, and you had the things are going to fall apart quickly here vibes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. When that happened, I went to the gym. When that inning happened, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a bad night, huh? And I was listening to it on the Fubo TV broadcast on my headphones, and I checked it every now and then. And at some point, I don't even know when the Dubon home run happened because I was still at the gym. And all of a sudden, I was like, there's 5-4. Oh, they scored runs.
Yeah.
Because it really felt like one of those nights where they weren't scoring. But the big news yesterday for the Houston Astros is that they designated Rafael Montero for assignment. Finally. Mercifully. I guess technically his time with the Houston Astros isn't done because Dana Brown said after the Astros had beaten the Pirates at a press conference that Montero might be open to coming back.
Said he was going to talk to his wife and he's going to talk to his agent, but he was very open and optimistic, and the conversation was great. And he, he talked about how much fun and how much family he feels like he has here. And so we feel optimistic that he's probably going to accept.
So maybe there's a chance for a Rafael Montero comeback story?
I don't know if I even want to entertain it.
Put it on Disney. Straight to Disney VHS.
It's like you mentioned, his whole career. You saw it in Seattle. We've seen the ups and downs here in Houston. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure going to Sugar Land, like, there's something they can just fix. Like, they want to fix Kikuchi, and they want to fix Caleb Ferguson. Those guys have stretches where they're been really, really good in their career. Montero obviously had the 2 good seasons we talked about earlier, but I'm just not sure there's something like mechanically that they can send him to Sugarland all of a sudden to make him what he was in 2022 again. So if he doesn't accept the assignment, I won't be heartbroken. If he does, I also won't be optimistic that he's going to be an impactful pitcher ever again for the Houston Astros. So, I mean, if he likes to live in Houston, like, hey, it's a great place to live. I'm never leaving.
Great food.
Great food.
Mm-hmm.
A little hot. That's okay.
It is a little warm. A little warm. A little sweaty.
A little toasty.
A little sweat drip down my balls, as Lil Jon says. What? What are you guys looking at?
No, thank you for quoting Lil Jon there.
Wise philosopher.
I do wonder if it if we're going to get a like the Jose Abreu rehab assignment in Florida? West Palm Beach. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even give him West Palm Beach. That's what I feel like for Abreu. Like Abreu, they didn't even designate him for assignment, did they?
No, the first time they did. Remember?
They did. That's when he went to Florida.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, they did that. They did that first, and then he came back, and then they got rid of him.
Yes.
But I remember the way that they announced it was a mutual decision, and that he was going to West Palm Beach.
You're right.
This feels like they're not 100% sure what Montero's going to do in response to this. So I guess he would go to West Palm Beach.
And it also feels like if it's not a mutual decision already. If you already have that conversation, Rafael Montero's like, not sure if I want to do that. That would just lead me to believe that he is like, no, I'll just be a free agent. And then my agent will tell a reporter to tweet out that I'm not interested in taking a deal this year, but open for a 2025 deal.
Like the Abreu update we got a couple of days ago.
Actually,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on another team. This year, like the Baltimore Orioles, they acquired Gregory.
Please sign him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they got Gregory Soto from the Phillies at the deadline. The Phillies had essentially given up on him. He had been terrible. And the Orioles were like, we'll take your trash and try to fix our bullpen. I mean, they made 7 trades at the deadline. So, like, there might be someone desperate enough.
I would love
Yankees.
The Yankees to do this or the Mariners to do this to bring him back. That would because Mariners fans would get pissed about that too. And I mean, I love Mariners fans, but. They would hate that. Hey, they would hate. They're the only other fan base that knows Montero show.
You guys were upset that we traded Montero and Graveman 2 years ago. Well, he's back.
Nope, not Graveman. Montero. Does anyone deserve credit for this deal? DFA move?
I think Jim Crane, you have to give him a little bit of credit.
Oh.
But I feel like he's still in the red on credit for the Rafael Montero move. Like, signing him is the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a 10% credit for realizing your mistake and just eating the money. But he was the guy who signed him.
Why does he deserve credit?
Because he could have just said, I'm not paying this guy to not be on my team. I mean, to cut that amount of money between two guys to let them be free agents and give them full paychecks... It's not something that every owner would do. Not every owner could do.
I want to agree with you. I hearken back to the hour one story where I talked about how after buying a $50 canister of whey protein that I ended up being allergic to, I continued to take it as the allergic reactions got worse and worse. My sister even told me, like my doctor, soon to be doctor sister, was like, what are you doing, dumbass? And I was like,
once it's done, I'm going to go back to the original bread. I'm going to be fine.
And I stuck with it. And, you know, I had to go to the hospital. My poor dad, like that hospital bill, I wonder what the interest is on that one because I didn't pay it. You know? So
probably a lot.
Probably a lot. That was about 20 years ago. So, or maybe 15. So, like, do I deserve credit for eventually throwing it out in the trash after having to go to the hospital? No, I don't. I don't deserve credit for it. I suppose that when I made the purchase, I couldn't have known. And maybe after the Astros saw what they saw from Rafael Montero firsthand in 2022 and not what they had seen from him before in Seattle, I can see how maybe they didn't know any better.
If it said, this will give you an allergic reaction.
Yeah, like it didn't say, like, Rafael Montero is going to go back to being Rafael Montero. But it did stand to reason that this was the anomaly of his career. And the Astros might have gotten a little bit too cocky, thinking to themselves, we can fix all pitchers. And I still feel like that's what they're doing right now with Yusei Kikuchi and with Caleb Ferguson.
Yeah, it's not. I kind of agree. I'm with Sean where... He doesn't deserve 100% credit. He gets like a percentage point of credit because it's still his decision that he made. Like if this was James Click's signing and then Crane ate the contract, he would get even more credit. But at the end of the day, this is his fault.
Yeah, it's Crane's
fault. This was his decision. He fired James Click. He didn't hire a GM quickly. He and Jeff Bagwell and company signed Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero. So you can't completely absolve them of everything. But to eat the contract... and not even give Joe Espada the opportunity to put him back on the field, you get like 10% credit for that.
10% credit. Okay. I was wondering if we could put a number next to it. That makes sense. Because I agree with Sean. It's in the red still. Like, there are things that need to be made up for.
Especially when you pair it with the two biggest moves, because we smartly remembered Brantley was also one of those moves. But the two biggest moves, they had to cut them a year and a half into the – like halfway into the deal. Like, that is not good. I don't care. I don't care how, like, willing to open your wallet. That's not good. Don't do that.
How does he get back in the black? I mean, $5 El Tiempo margaritas in center field?
Oh, man.
Sign someone good.
Well, the sign someone good thing, though. I mean, no, they're trying to tell us it's all Dana's now. So now we need okay. Jim. We need Jim to...
To build some bars near the ballpark, actually.
Craneville.
Oh, whoa. Highway Cantina.
I know, but I miss Home Run Dugout. Like, it was so convenient.
It's not Highway Cantina.
I know. I love Highway Cantina.
Yeah.
I need some margaritas. I'm ready to go back. The watermelon one's so elite. Yeah, but like Crane, you know, promised us Craneville. He's made 0% progress.
This is going to hurt his ability to make Craneville.
Well, they better keep
all that money they ate.
Yeah,
for Montero and Jose Abreu. Dude, this is $100 million essentially, and just burnt money on Montero, Abreu, and Michael Brantley.
Craneville might have just closed before it opened. To be honest,
grand opening, grand closing.
Like, it might
shut it down.
Just gonna stay as a parking lot.
Do you think if John Taffer showed up, like, this could be saved? He's like, you got Rafael Montero pitching the eighth inning.
Maybe that's what happened.
Slime everywhere.
You're going to get someone killed.
Those gamblers out there are relying on you.
Someone's home. Another team's home run ball is going to kill someone in left field unless you get Montero off that mound.
Yeah, so 10% credit. That's what we're good with.
I might even be less. It might 10 might be nice. It might be 5.
Yeah, for Jim to get this team back in the black, World Series. And when he releases the World Series merchandise, lower the prices a little bit.
No more $300 hats.
Yeah.
Actually, that might be what we're forgetting. Maybe just win a World Series, and we're back in.
When you design the World Series jerseys, don't make it orange and gold. Make it gold and blue.
Oh, well, that's everyone doing the gold. Yeah.
I don't like the orange with the gold. It's weird.
It's the worst.
Yeah. Make it orange and blue. Do the Sunday home jerseys. Make those the gold jerseys.
How about let's actually... wear the Tequila Sunrise jerseys again?
That's good, too. Tequila Sunrise.
I can't believe they haven't worn them in, like, years.
The blue and gold jerseys that we talked about
the other day. The blue and gold would be good. Do not bring back those brick red monstrosities with the pinstripes.
That would have been it. What if
From behind, those looked like Yankees uniforms. I remember following a guy. It was an Astros-Yankees game for, I think it was the ALCS in 2022. And I'm walking around the ballpark, and there's this guy in front of me. And I wanted to walk in front of him, but he was a fast walker. I'm a fast walker, so I was impressed by him. But I kept on looking at the back, and I'm like, he's wearing, like, pinstripes, and it says Clemens on the back, and I do not know what team this is for. From the back, you can't tell if it's brick red.
Do you like those jerseys?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, not really. Okay. I don't like the home jerseys were the worst. The red ones were fine. They weren't good, but they were fine. Those I could do for in 10 years throwback night where they wear the red ones. But the overall look and aesthetic, that's my least favorite of the Astros.
Yeah, I just – when I was back in my day, lids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the hat is cool. The hat's cool,
but it was always – if anyone ever came and asked for if we had those jerseys when I was working at lids – they were always relatively your age, Sean. So it seemed like there was a younger generation, just a little bit younger than me, that because they grew up on the jerseys, they actually liked them.
I was going to say, like, when I grew up, it was not only those jerseys, but they're going to the NLCS and World Series in those jerseys. So there is a little bit more nostalgia there for them. But again, the white jerseys are terrible. The red ones are fine. And the hat is cool.
Is there... a, like, Houston vintage sports store? Like a boutique or something like that? I actually used to live next to one.
Throwback stuff?
Yeah. I actually used to live next to one in Seattle. It was awesome. But it closed during the pandemic, which sucked. It was, like, really small, like, not a chain or anything. It was PNW Sports Pro. It was sick. Text that in. Sorry, this is.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great business idea. I mean, if there's not one out there.
Let's cut this out of the podcast.
Oh yeah, this is our new business plan. I like.
Hey guys, where'd Joe, Paul, and Sean go? Oh, they opened a new business.
You know what? Yeah, honestly, no. The show's over forever. Bye.
Texas 4!
I'm dizzy. If you watch that on Twitch.
Yeah, it's delayed, so I'm on YouTube. You.
Look like I'm having a seizure.
The hair's flipping all over the place.
So, preseason game number one tonight. Swarm! Joe's scared. He told me in the break, like, I'm scared for my beloved Bears.
I'm scared.
Texans 24-0 season begins now. 4-0 preseason, 17 games regular season, 3 games the postseason, 24-0. Time to make history, guys. Time to make history. C.J. Stroud is the quarterback of the Houston Texans. He will not play in tonight's preseason game. But he made it into the NFL top 100 list, and you're going to be surprised how high up on the list he made it. He is number 20. Here is a clip from the little video package they put together to announce him as 2-0.
You would have never thought he was a rookie.
Yeah, he is not a rookie.
Had a great week of practice. Let's go put it on the field now.
Dude came in just balling. You know, he came in calm. Play came in collected and just ready to make an impact.
He kind of just let the fears and the worries of a normal rookie quarterback that they go through, he let them go and just started firing them. And, you know, it was a couple of throws and a couple of plays that he made kind of throws me something like, man, I don't feel like I'm playing against a rookie.
As soon as CJ came in the league, I knew he was going to be a dog. That's how I view CJ. He's a dog. When the game is on the line, 2-minute drill, anything, he's going to get it done.
Joe, can you guess who the last guy was talking there?
Oh, I know. It was Laramie.
Laramie calls everybody dogs. To the degree that he needs to start calling them by specific types of dogs. If CJ Stroud's a dog and Davis Mills is a dog, who's the doggiest of them all, doggone it?
CJ. So let's do this. So CJ is a pit bull.
A pit bull, not pit bull, because pit bull, some are saying he's washed.
Davis Mills is a Labrador Retriever, Chihuahua.
I was going to have
what
like
a range.
Like a whippet. Like a whippet.
A what?
A whippet.
What's a whippet?
It's like a small greyhound. Look it up. It has a long neck.
I was thinking like Labrador Retriever because, you know, like it's a good dog and it gets you what you really want.
He's a Great Dane. Doesn't really move that much. Huge.
Do Great Danes have long necks?
Chill guy. Low energy. Great Danes are huge. Have you ever seen them?
I have. I don't know what their neck, you know.
The proportions.
The neck proportion looks like. I know the legs are long. The body's big. But it's like, you know, he's definitely not like an English bulldog where like they're like scrunched up.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud, bigger dog. Yeah. I was Rottweiler. Surprised to see him at 20.
Number 20. He is ahead of these quarterbacks. I'll just say them in order if you have any thoughts along the way.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence is 94. Aaron Rodgers is 92.
Ooh.
Kirk Cousins is 81.
Rodgers should be higher, but okay. Keep going.
Justin Herbert is 75. Jared Goff is 48. Sean disagrees with that one. Matt Stafford is 42.
Okay.
Joe Burrow of 39. That seems low. Especially when Tua's 36. Jordan Love is 34. Brock Purdy, 28. So Stroud, the next quarterback on the list after Stroud is Brock Purdy. And there's only 8 rankings separating the two.
I guess I'm confused on what they judge this, what the players judge this on.
The
when
players
they make the
just put a list together. Some put effort into it, and others don't.
Yeah, because like obviously you can't go off last year and have Aaron Rodgers on this list. But at the same time, it feels like Joe Burrow is punished because he played good, but he got hurt. And Aaron Rodgers played 4 plays.
Yeah, and how do you bake in like? Well, Aaron Rodgers is probably still better than Jared Goff. He just didn't play last year.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad Matthew Stafford is in front of Jared Goff. That's correct.
It's a little too close, but yeah.
The big actually one I was surprised about the most was Purdy.
Purdy is 28, and I thought for sure that the players who vote on this, the players would not put Purdy in there. I guess they all think Purdy's good.
Yeah, I thought because they would view him as like the game manager guy,
he
would be much farther down the list.
I did too.
I mean, they have huge respect for game managers with Tua and Purdy and Goff all up there. All above, like, Rodgers.
By the way,
Prescott, also a game manager, according to Cam Newton.
Well, interestingly enough.
Embrace debate.
On that list, Dak Prescott ahead of C.J. Stroud at 16. Jalen Hurts, 15.
That's actually worse, though.
Josh Allen, 12. Hurts has no business being 15 after last year. He didn't play well last year. Dak statistically was very good last season, so I can understand him being ahead of C.J. Stroud for what it's worth. By the way, it looks like Simone Biles just won another gold medal.
Nice.
Does that count as an H-Town championship? Is Simone Biles the most?
Yeah.
Is Simone Biles the most winning team in Houston sports history?
Yes. Yeah,
she's won like 11 championships.
I think we should count her. We should count that.
Does that count more or whatever nonsense you tried to say earlier about Katie Ledecky and the ACC?
Well, Katie Ledecky is an ACC legend.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
It was really funny. The ACC tweeted out a picture saying, like, congratulations to the ACC's Katie Ledecky because Stanford is now in the ACC and she swam at Stanford.
Now, to be fair, she also might still be swimming at Stanford. She might have another year left.
No, she's 27.
Oh, is she 27? Okay.
She's 27.
I don't know.
A lot of people go to college for 5 years.
I mean,
Van Wilder?
Yeah, they're called doctors.
that too.
Maybe she's a doctor. She keeps swimming the whole time.
Dr. Katie Ledecky.
Yeah, you never know. Also, I learned there's a lifeguard at the pool events. Did you guys know that before we get back?
I didn't know that.
imagine needing a lifeguard at the pool events.
I saw that there's a guy who picks up the swim caps that fall off. But like they have a guy in between races that goes in, dives in, gets the swim caps that fall off.
Let's just say he does not look like an Olympic athlete.
No.
You would think. Never mind.
Yes, you would think.
You would think. A little bit more.
When it's in LA in 2028, that person should be like closer to what we think of like Baywatch.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just going to be Zac Efron.
My God, they're showing the replays of Simone Biles. Holy crap, man. I don't know how she does that. I'm glad that we can put Twisty's Gate behind us.
Jonathan Owens, real American hero.
Yeah,
right there.
I was going to say.
Husband of the year.
There's been a couple shots of Jonathan Owens.
Well, he's not playing in tonight's Texans-Bears game, so Joe, when your Bears get their ass kicked.
He's doing something more important. He's supporting.
He's not swarming.
He's not a Texan. He's just supporting a Houston legend. I like CJ at 20. I mean, it's crazy to think of rookies that high, though. I wasn't sure what they were going to do with him because everyone gasses him up, I think, in a way that he deserves. I was curious what the other NFL players would say about him this year. So I was pleasantly surprised to see him in the top 20.
Hell yeah.
I was surprised that Hurts and Dak were ahead of him.
Hurts, I get Dak, like Paul said, the stats are there.
Yeah.
I don't understand Jalen. He shouldn't be in front of CJ.
That's one of those where NFL players just probably like him. Because he seems like a great dude.
I agree. 100%. All right, guys, it's Galan and George, ESPN at 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, our countdown to the start of the NFL season continues. This is the greatest nickname in NFL history. There is no debate. Who? He's number 35 in our countdown. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Galan and Joe George. Superman from Central Africa, named Christian Okoye. This 6 foot, 1 inch, 260-pound running back is known as the Nigerian Nightmare, and his natural talent is a coach's dream. Okoye jumps higher and further than any other chief. But it's his time in the 40 that really sets him apart. Nobody that big ever ran this fast.
The Nigerian Nightmare. I don't know if you could nickname anybody that today, but for its time, Chiefs fullback, Christian Okoye. Mm-hmm. That's an all-time nickname.
You have the Greek Freak.
That's true.
A lot of those I think you have to give to yourself for it to be acceptable, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did he say at the beginning? Superman?
Well, he said from Central Africa, and that's just not where Nigeria is on a map. Like, it's a West African country.
Maybe he meant from, like, the north to south part of it, because if we're talking north to south, it is central, but you're right. It is West Central Africa, I guess. We know geography on this show, too. Thanks to Sean, not thanks to either of us. Earl Campbell also wore number 35 with the New Orleans Saints. You want to see a shocking hit. And 37, we didn't talk about Steve Atwater, but Steve Atwater, who was a Broncos safety, Okoye's greatest ever NFL highlight might be when Steve Atwater took him out.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, yeah. If you want some good old concussion brand football back in your life, watch Steve Atwater stopping Christian Okoye.
Okay.
Watch it. It's fantastic. As far as Houston Texans wearing number 35, Eddie Pleasant was a special teamer from 2012 through 2017. Shout out to Eddie Pleasant.
Fantasy football hero when he was on the Green Bay Packers before he was a Houston Texan. Sam Congato.
Oh,
was number 35.
Yeah. Yep.
It's one of those Packers players that it didn't matter. He wore those colors. I loved him. I was just, for some reason, one of those weird, like, fantasy football loves.
Can we get a quick top three of Packers? Doesn't matter that they're Packers.
Okay. Sam Congato. Julius Peppers when he was still there.
Okay. Well,
and,
also up here.
I'm just going to say Jonathan Owens. That's
okay.
My list.
Okay.
There was another fight at training camp. This time it was at Dolphins training camp. Said one key NFL player about this fight, "The fight we had today was amazing. We need that. Teams that I've been on that won, those teams fought. They aren't going to fight in the locker room. This is where you fight. Then right after the play, you calm yourself. In between the whistle, you're right back at it with no mental errors." Can you guess who talked about fighting here?
Oh, man. This is a good team to guess this because there's so many options. I'm going to go Jalen Ramsey.
I'm going to go Odell Beckham. People forget he's on the Dolphins.
Yeah. I forgot that until you said it.
Odell Beckham Jr. don't want no fights. It was Tyreek Hill. Should Tyreek Hill...
Should have been my next guess.
...say that he likes fights?
Yeah.
Given that he allegedly has been in fights with multiple women?
Ooh. That's a good point. Let's say...
Would that qualify him for the Olympics?
He likes fights.
He does like fights.
He doesn't fight in the locker room.
The one-sided fights. Not the ones that are on the field. That's for sure. Arian Foster was on the Macrodosing podcast, and... While we're talking about training camp fights, we were talking about the fight that was at Houston Texans training camp between Stephon Diggs and Jimmy Ward and then Derek Stingley Jr. and Dalton Schultz. Guess who was a bit of a fighter himself back in the day?
Training camp fights, coaches will say they don't like them, right? What are we doing out here? We're going to get injured. And they don't like that shit. But deep down, they're like, all right, we got that dog in us. You know what I mean? Like, so... I hope D'Amico, that's my dog, right? D'Amico Ryans. I hope he ain't over there talking about us. We don't need to be fighting. We was in training camp 2000. Was it 2009? Might have been 2009, 2010. And I think we had New Orleans practice. We was practicing against New Orleans. We wasn't in 20 minutes into the practice. D'Amico started some shit with who was that? Who was that tight end with the long white
hair? Jeremy Shockey. Yeah,
that was a fight. He popped that shit off right away, and that set the tone for the squad. Like, yo, we out here, let's go. And then it just got, you know, you grow like that. You grow with the fights, you know, as long as you keep your helmet on, don't be stupid, keep your helmet on. And it's going to be a lot of pushing and shoving, a lot of ego dropping, but it is what it is.
D'Amico, a fighter, not a lover.
That surprises me. Fights are good. The only time a fight's bad is what happened in Pittsburgh.
What happened?
Patrick Queen, he tried to commit murder on Justin Fields the other day when Justin Fields was like sliding and he took his head off. So there was a huge scrap.
Wait, he took his head off?
He tried to.
Okay, gotcha.
You don't hit the quarterback late in training camp.
No, you should be able to. You should be able to.
No, because I don't want that to happen to
CJ. No, you're wrong.
No, yeah.
You're wrong.
No.
Defenders' lives matter.
Not in training camp.
Yeah, they do. And it's BS that offensive players just can do whatever they want. Oh, I got a red jersey on. Justin Fields, you're a kick returner, sir.
I was going to say, that for...
The example's poor.
For the starting quarterback, yeah, don't hit him.
Russell Wilson doesn't practice, so... He's got a tight hammy. Soft boy.
Keep your head on a swivel.
Well, if he rehabs it for 20 hours, I'm sure he'll be fine. Like he did when he broke his finger back in the day. While we're on Dolphins training camp, Tua Tagovailoa... Recently paid, I believe the kids would call what he did while talking to the Dolphins crowd at a training camp practice. Cringe. Show me the money.
That's very cringe. That's so awkward.
He is going to be the next Russell Wilson. Maybe not quite so fake, but, I mean, similar size, fairly similar game. One just hasn't released concussion water yet. And honestly, like Tua, like you're missing out on the endorsement opportunities here. Just pushing some snake oil.
The football globe.
The football loaves of bread.
Oh, yeah, the football bread.
That was Russell Wilson's bread. Be the ball. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah.
Look up Russell Wilson bread.
It was like bread in a box shaped like a football, and he thought it was going to revolutionize how people eat bread.
Because he was like, people will think about football all the time. Or so it was like something so stupid.
It really was.
He's the worst. He might be one of my least favorite athletes just when he talks.
Russ?
Yeah, everything he just said was so fraudulent. Oh, this is awesome, guys.
What?
This bread.
I definitely would have bought it if I had seen it at a Walmart freezer.
I wish they kept it.
Eat the ball. It has the laces on it and everything.
Yeah, look it up. Eat the ball. I'm sure you can find some online for like $40. Probably like turned into an absolute rock.
It's a collection piece at this point.
100%.
I think it would look great right behind us.
You can put it on your mantle.
We could put it like right here in the studio.
Oh, right here in the studio. I love it. By the way, a happy retirement to one of Joe's football heroes, Tariq Cohen, who literally yesterday said that he feels all the way back while trying out for the New York Jets, retired today.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It was less than 24 hours. Happy retirement. It does leave running backs really quickly. I just thought it was kind of funny that he said, I'm all the way back, retired.
You know who else did that earlier today?
Who?
Earlier this week.
Who?
Rashad Penny. Penny had a quote where it's like, I'm glad I'm back on the field so people can realize just how, like, I still got it.
Well.
And then retired.
But here's the thing about Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny, among qualified running backs, all-time highest yards per carry average. 5.6.
Wow. He was a good football player.
People in Seattle hate him because he was a running back taken in the first round. They called him a bust. And I was like, well, he's just hurt all the time, but he's averaging 5.6 yards a carry. You can't call him a bust.
Yeah, wasn't it a neck injury too?
It was everything. He had the worst luck.
Yeah, like if you get like bad neck injuries and stuff like that, I think it's unfair to call people a bust. Like Tariq Cohen, not a bust because he wasn't drafted high enough. I think he tore both of his Achilles.
Cohen played for like 9 years. I mean, with those torn Achilles. No, he was a fun little fantasy player. Like he was the epitome of waiver wire running back pickup.
Yeah. That was short shaming, though, the way you just said that.
What?
Kind of a fun little fantasy player.
He was a fun little fantasy.
Well, I mean, like, he wasn't a big-time numbers fantasy player. I had nothing to do with his height, Joe. You're just assuming it.
No, watching Triggered. The games, it was so adorable. The ball looked so big in his hands.
Like now that you bring it up, it's true.
He is 5'6".
He's a little guy. I'm being honest here.
Look at him go.
I was saying little.
Okay.
Because he was not someone you wanted to be relying on your fantasy football team.
Look, building the franchise around him.
Cancel culture might be coming out for the show today, so I'm just trying to make sure we don't.
You think so?
You're the one dropping the M word all over.
What word? The M word.
M. Like in mother.
They do sound
off the air.
Yeah.
Those two letters. No, shut up, Sean. You can't. I won't even allow that. You can't do that. It is funny, but you can't do that. Come on. We do lie about each other from time to time.
Yeah,
for the sake of fun. But...
That was a character assassination.
We're cool with those on the show.
I've never heard Joe say any slurs off the air.
Thank you.
He saves them for on the air.
And he's allowed to say... Galanta George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. What would be worse... Swimming in the River Seine in Paris or swimming in a Houston bayou? A Belgian gave an answer to that question. You'll hear it next. Stick around.
You are back with Galanta George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
John Williams, hell yeah. Some Olympic fanfare in the background. So, if you've been watching the Olympics, you might have seen the triathlon. In the triathlon, those competing have to swim in the French river, the Seine, which goes through Paris. This is a river that I'm sure has probably close to 2,000 years worth of pollution in it from whenever Paris started to become Paris during the time of the Romans when they conquered Gaul, which is what France was known as at the time. Sorry to go history on y'all.
Yeah, learn something today.
That river is gross to the point where French authorities were spending billions of euros trying to clean it up. We talked about it before, how some French were going to protest it by taking a dump in it because the mayor and president of France had promised that they were going to swim in the river. When they found out about the poop thing, they bailed on it. But now these triathletes are swimming in it, and Belgian triathlete Julien Vermeulen said this about swimming in the River Seine. Quote, "I felt and saw things that I don't want to talk about." Oh. What do you think she was talking about? Hopefully not bodies.
It has to be bodies.
Poop? No, if they saw bodies, I think they would stop.
If there was bodies, they would stop.
Like skeletons?
Well, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
that would be at the bottom,
like
I would think.
French Revolution bodies.
You know what? They could be there. Yeah, you're swimming and you got your goggles on. You're looking down and there's some skeletons.
There's a whole bunch of skulls far away from all where all the bodies are.
A couple of serial killer, like Bay Harbor Butcher Ooh. Style from Dexter, just dropped towards the bottom.
That's what they have to be on a lookout for when they're in L.A. Keep an eye out for
their bodies.
We might be able to close some cases.
I got to say, though, these French these Belgians and these other people, like, they should try swimming in all the Houston bayous that we have here. Because I bet the bayous here are worse.
I mean, yeah.
There's probably like disease and gators in it.
Yeah. I was going to say the, like, algae and animal life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but would you rather, like, have a chance to be eaten by an alligator or, like, a century's worth of poop? What would you rather swim through?
Oof.
I'd rather risk my life with the alligator.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would too, actually.
Because both are probably going to kill you. And at least if the alligator kills me, or it might only take my arm. Like, this water is brown. It's like a dark green brown. It's gross looking.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
And if someone's saying there's things I saw I don't want to talk about, that makes me real.
I want her to talk about it.
Yeah. That makes me
what could it possibly be in this water?
It's like loads of turds.
But I feel like you would talk about it.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I was swimming past Dukes. Also, wouldn't they float?
Some floaters?
Yeah, wouldn't they be at the top
Maybe
of the
at
water?
Some point they start sinking.
After a couple centuries?
Yeah.
Eaten by the like radioactive fish that are living in there.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Like, I saw a fish with two heads.
Yeah, I saw a fish with a bicep coming out of its eye. It's crazy. We have some gymnastics beef, and I apologize. I messed this up earlier. I thought all the Michaelas on the U.S. gymnastics team were the same. So there's beef. This is quite the hill to die on. Going after an Olympics team led by Simone Biles, you're going to get destroyed online. So Michaela Skinner is a former Olympic gymnast who said this about the Olympic team for 2024. Besides Simone, I feel like the talent and depth just isn't what it used to be. I just noticed, obviously a lot of the girls don't work as hard. The girls don't have the work ethic. Her criticism was directed towards the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, which she thinks is hindering coaches from doing their job. But everyone took issue with it. She actually sent out an apology, Michaela Skinner, online. But Biles has been taking shots back along the way, saying not everyone needs a mic and a platform. And then when the U.S. as a team won the gold Tuesday in an Instagram post with her and her teammates, she had the caption, lack of talent, lazy, Olympic champions. We even had old RBF McGee, Michaela Maroney, another Michaela, like chime in and say, like, man, if I were that person that was going against Simone Biles, I would apologize as much as I can. And that lady, Michaela Skinner, has blocked everybody. That's how she's going through it right now. There's no formal apology to the U.S. gymnastics team, which cleaned house, as they always do.
I mean, it's like she went after the GOAT of her sport.
Yeah, you're going after Simone. Like, it's just stupid. There's some people you can't really go after. I mean, Simone Biles, like, she was on the Olympics team in 2021 and left due to the twisties. And it was, like, one of those things where you weren't really supposed to touch on the fact that she left and probably cost another Olympian a spot because she wasn't feeling it going up to it. And then she left, but she came back in, and so I think she got a bronze medal. Like, that was touchy to touch. Now imagine calling out Simone Biles' Olympic team. Like, sorry, you're donezo. RIP your mentions.
And also, like, if you're going to call a team out for the, like, what the coaches are and aren't allowed to do and their prep and the talent and all that, yada, yada, yada. Shouldn't you wait to see if the team loses first? Like shouldn't you talk that trash after they lose?
Michaela Skinner.
She tried to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And it blew up in her face.
She's dedicated to the take.
As Sean, you always say, always be podcasting.
ABP.
She was trying to carve out a gymnastics podcast.
I mean, look, if Hawk Tua can get a podcast, then this girl can get
the two Michaelas and yeah. The Hawk Tua.
Yeah, but I don't think Michaela Skinner is talking about foreplay on her podcast. I think she's talking about gymnastics stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's like a big, podcast space for like Olympic sports that we just don't know about? Like, is there a bunch of podcasts about like table tennis?
Good question. I don't know.
I would assume the answer to that is no.
I don't know. I know Meg on the Twitch is apparently like a really good table tennis player.
Foosball player,
my bad.
Professionally
sorry.
Ranked.
I confuse my sports.
He actually
I confuse my sports.
Mega, I don't know who that's disrespectful to, but that's disrespectful.
Mega invited me to some stuff where like there's
some
a bunch
stuff.
Of, there's like a bunch of professional foosball players, and I think I want to go.
I actually am curious to see.
I want to see what it's like to see a pro play foosball.
One last Olympic story. The U.S. beat South Sudan 103-86 in a game that Steph, KD, and LeBron played poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid got benched for Jason Tatum. Yeah!
All 4 points of Jason Tatum's night.
Hey, Derek White also played well. So the two Celtics in the lineup, that's the reason they won. I'm going to just completely ignore Bam Adebayo, who was the real reason that Team USA won.
Mm-hmm.
It was all Jason Tatum and Derek White. Another championship for the Boston Celtics. Gold medal and title number 18.
Mm.
Shout out to Steve Kerr for benching the two funniest players it would be to bench for the first two games.
Yeah, really? Great point, Sean.
He picked the two funniest guys that would get the internet going for 0 minutes for Tatum and then 0 minutes for Embiid. I can't wait to see who he has for next the next game. Jeez. I don't know who he's benching.
He's our hero.
Joel Embiid did not look happy, though. Every time they show him on the sidelines, he just looked pouty.
Joel Embiid should not be playing. He's not American. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I will say he's more American than he is French, which was the second choice.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we talked about this. Yeah, he should have been for Cameroon, but he knew Cameroon wasn't going to make the Olympics, so.
They could have made the Olympics. Him and Pascal Siakam? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough to field an Olympic
team.
That's
enough to make the Olympics. I'm not saying do anything. I don't know, make the Olympics.
I mean, look, they both have a ton of money. They can't put money into the
Like Luol Deng's doing
Olympic program. Yeah.
Luol Deng funded South Sudan and got them into the Olympics.
Yeah, like I mean, they can't do the same thing for Cameroon.
They make way more money than Luol Deng made.
Yeah, I guess not anymore.
No, I like honestly, if you have to have some. Patriotism for your country. What is it? You think it's all going to get like, I don't know, not spent the way that it's supposed to?
I do. I feel like Joel Embiid. I do. I like the opposite though. Like if you have like an American citizen who wants to play elsewhere to represent where their family's from, I like that. Like Carl Anthony Towns did that.
Yeah,
he plays for the Dominican Republic. Now, once you play for another country, apparently you can't go back.
Yeah, once you play for the senior team, you can't change
teams again.
Yeah.
So Joel Embiid's locked in.
Okay.
But I like that like Carl Anthony Towns did that, where he went and played for the Dominican Republic. He's never going to be good enough for Team USA.
It's like you're not good enough for your country. Let the other countries play. Or just have everybody be under 22 and that plays in the basketball side of things, which would make a lot more sense.
Yeah. Or like 24. I think soccer is like 24.
If we're going to make these sports interesting where it actually you're not sure who's going to win, it should be everyone should be under like 21 or something.
I feel like...
You can't drink.
I feel like the U.S. would have a better shot, and this is just total blind guess, would have a better shot U21 than they do over 21.
If they did like the soccer rules where it's like the U21 but two or three players, but like two players, so it'd be, you know, like...
A couple bets.
Like Cooper Flagg, Reed Shepard... Amen Thompson, LeBron. Like, that'd be great.
Bronny James.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. I'm out.
And that concludes Gallant and George's coverage of the 2024 Olympics in France. He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. You heard Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. The Astros are back in the win column, and they moved on from Rafael Montero. Where are the vibes at now? 1 through 10. 10 high, 1 low. You get to answer. Stick around.